continuation of what was mentioned right at the end of the 21st para. The circumstances of the revelation of these verses was that as the Muslims were gaining victory over victory through the help and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against the kuffar, then the booty and the spoils of war also started coming more and more to the Muslims. And with the result, the economic well-being of the general Muslim public improved quite a bit, it improved considerably. And this, because of seeing this, the wives of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, they requested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he may that he should increase the allowance which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam normally gave them. This request of the Azwatul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displeased Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made him upset him, and he was also taken over with grief. The reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upset and displeased, because being the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of all the Mu'mineen, they were supposed to and they were expected to be patient with their lot. Whatever was given to them, it was expected that they be patient with that. And the grief Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was overcome with was because their request actually indicated that they haven't truly appreciated the value and worth of living in the home of a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became upset also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed these verses, telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that give a choice to your wives, to the Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that either they must remain patient with whatever they are getting, and if they want the things of the dunya, then they must be prepared for separation, and then they will have to settle for a divorce and be separated from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam put this proposal forward to each of his wives, and each of the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then chose to stay with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and disregarded whatever request they were making, that they want more more and an increase in their allowance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of this, that O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell your wives that if they wish the worldly life and the splendor of the worldly life, then come, I will give you a good provision, and then I will then separate you in a cordial way. And if you desire Allah and His Rasul and the year after, then Allah, in other words, if you remain patient, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for those who do good from amongst you, Allah ta'ala has prepared an immense reward. Because they chose to stay patiently with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even under difficult conditions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevated the status of the Ummahatul Mu'mineen to such an extent that Allah ta'ala addresses them directly and tells them that you are not like any of the other women of the world. Your status and status is special. You are the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, whatever good you do, the first verse of the 22nd para, whatever acts of obedience that you do, Allah ta'ala will grant you a reward double fold. But at the same time, the last verse of the 21st para, Allah ta'ala warns that if you fall into any type of disobedience, then the punishment for you will also be double fold. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the great rank of the Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the surah also previously, it was mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum, that the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the mothers of this ummah. Therefore, indication also to the fact that after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nobody is permitted to marry them. This was also a special status accorded to the Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala then mentions some guidelines and some advices to the Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although the order has been given directly to the Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the message is general. Allah ta'ala says that فَلَا تَغْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ, that don't speak in lowered tones. When speaking to strangers, don't speak in lowered tones. Don't speak in a fine, delicate and sweet tone. And because, why? فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ, that lest such a person in whose heart there is a disease of hypocrisy or whatever else, then lest he might be tempted and enticed towards Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which will be a great destruction for himself. So this order is although directed to Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is for all women, that if because of necessity they have to speak to strange men behind parda, etc., but they should speak not in gentle and soft and sweet tones, because perhaps somebody might have some wrong thoughts in his mind, with the result that evil could be now come into the fore, and with Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam it will be to his great detriment. The second order Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, and stay in your houses. In other words, the main way of hijab for a woman is actually to stay in a house and not emerge unless with necessity. Allah Ta'ala says after that, and don't make a display of yourselves as was the case in the former times of Jahiliyyat. That women used to now move around and display their beauty in public. Don't do like that. Although here it is mentioned Jahiliyyat al-Ula, but the same things we are seeing today, as if we are also in Jahiliyyat and in an age of ignorance, because this is what is happening all around us, and not only display of beauty just by coming without parda, but actually nudity is prevalent in today's times. Further on, Allah Ta'ala says, and establish salat and pay the zakat and be obedient to Allah and His Rasul. Then Allah Ta'ala says, why we are telling you all these things? Because we want to rid you and purify you from all types of spiritual filth. O Ahle Bayt, O household members of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we want to keep you completely pure. And the last nasihat Allah Ta'ala gives to the Azwajun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and that which is recited in your homes from the verses of the Qur'an and Majeed and from the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, repeat it and remember it. In other words, discuss it and learn the verses of the Qur'an and Majeed and of the sunnah within the confines of your home. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions 10 characteristics of the Muslimin and the Mu'mineen. The revelation, circumstances of the revelation here, because Allah ta'ala mentions each characteristic with the male and the female for a figure of speech. The reason why was that Umm Salama radiallahu anha once asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that throughout the Quran and Majeed, we see that Allah ta'ala addresses men only by the figure of speech for males and not for females. We fear that our acts of ibadat might not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah ta'ala mentions each one, each quality of the believers in the male and the female form of speech. Allah ta'ala says the Muslim men and women, the mu'min men and women, and the obedient men and women, and those that are truthful men and women, and those who exercise patience, men and women, وَالْخَاشِعِينَ وَالْخَاشِعَاتِ, and those who are humble, men and women, and those who spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those that are men and the women also, وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ, and those who fast, and those who are protective over their private parts, the men and women, and those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance, the men and women. So Allah ta'ala, each one, mentioned both separately. أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, Allah has prepared for them forgiveness and an immense reward. The verses after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of an incident which happened, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually wanted to refute one of the age-old customs of the Arabs, and that was they regarded an adopted son like a proper and real son. And all the rules and regulations concerning a real son, they used to apply to the adopted son also. Right in the beginning of the surah, in the 21st para, Allah ta'ala makes mention there that one of the customs and beliefs of the Arabs, Allah Ta'ala completely refutes it, that your adopted son is not your adopted son. Therefore, your adopted son, make sure that you refer his lineage to his original father, not to the person who has adopted him. So, since this belief was so ingrained amongst the Arabs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also was chosen to break this age-old custom once and for all. And the incident which happened was that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's adopted son was Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu. One peculiar characteristic of Zayd radiallahu anhu is that he is the only sahabi from all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who is mentioned by name in the Quran Majeed. No other Sahabi has been mentioned by name in the Quran Majeed. Anyway, ulama have given the reasons why also, that when this order came, then he was no more called. Before he was called Zayd ibn Muhammad, Zayd the son of Muhammad. He wasn't the real son of Muhammad. But according to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was no more called Zayd ibn Muhammad. He was Zayd ibn Haritha. So that great honor of being linked directly to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala says is not correct. Because of that, Allah ta'ala then mentioned his name in the Quran Majeed, where whoever recites the Quran Majeed till the day of Qiyamah, his recitation cannot be complete until he recites that verse in which his name is also mentioned. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arranged his marriage to Zainab bint Jahash radiallahu anha, who was also the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That marriage somehow did not work out. They did not adapt to one another, despite repeated efforts by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to reconcile them, but there was no way out, and eventually the marriage ended in divorce. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Allah ta'ala performed this nikah. This is one nikah which was performed directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens. Allah ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and performed his nikah to Zainab bint Jahash. There was a big uproar amongst the Arabs. That what's happening? A person is getting married to his own daughter-in-law. Whereas it wasn't Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's own daughter-in-law. It was the daughter of the adopted son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah ta'ala made sure that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets married to Zainab radiallahu anha, and forever this custom can be broken once and for all, that an adopted son is in no way your actual son. He is just your adopted son, and therefore there is nothing wrong if a person marries the wife of the adopted son after the marriage has broken down, as happened here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of fear that people, what will they say? He had in his heart that, what will the people say? I'm getting married to the daughter of Zayd radiallahu anhu. But Allah ta'ala says, that why are you fearing people? Wallahu ahakku an takhsha. Allah is more worthy that you fear him. And Allah ta'ala then mentions that the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam also previously, all of them, la yakhshawna ahadan illallah. They had no fear for anybody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you hesitating in this matter? Because it is the decree and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be overturned in any way. Allah ta'ala then mentions concerning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is not the father of any of your men. Particular reference to Zayd radiallahu anhu. That he is not even the father of Zayd radiallahu anhu. It is just his adopted son. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had male offspring. But none of them reached the age of man. In other words, puberty. All of them passed away in childhood. So therefore, Allah ta'ala says, he is not the father of any of your men. In other words, that male offspring of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached the age whereby he is in the category of a man. He is the Rasul of Allah. He is the spiritual father of the whole ummah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khatamun Nabiyyin. Thereafter Allah ta'ala makes mention that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Concerning no other ibadat has Allah ta'ala made mention that do it in abundance. Nowhere have we been told to perform salat in abundance, or keep rozas in abundance. But dhikrullah, Allah ta'ala mentions, not only here, previously also, Allah ta'ala makes mention, that remember Allah ta'ala in abundance. The reason being, mentioned previously also, that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the spirit of all ibadat. It is, as mentioned in the hadith, the most virtuous of all actions. And because it is not, there's no conditions attached to dhikrullah when it comes to place, time, quantity, and whether a person got wudu or no wudu, there's no restrictions and conditions. Therefore, Allah ta'ala makes mention that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance and glorify him morning and evening. Allah ta'ala then mentions some of the great qualities of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah ta'ala has sent him as shahid, as a witness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will testify against the nations of the past who will refuse to acknowledge that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam had propagated the message of haq to them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mubashira wa nadhira, carrier of glad tidings, and a warner for all those people who are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi idnihi wa sirajan munira. And Allah ta'ala, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a caller towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the hukam and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is an illuminated lantern. where the world was sunk in darknesses of kufr and shirk and all types of evil. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became a beacon of light and a illuminated lantern and dispelled all those darknesses of kufr and shirk. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions concerning some of the special privileges which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was accorded when it comes to the matter of nikah. That he was permitted to marry more than four women, and besides that, many other privileges. For example, a woman, if she hands over herself as a gift to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he desires to marry her without any dowry, it was a special privilege of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also concerning spending time with the wives, it is an obligation for any person who has more than one wife to spend equal time with them at night. But for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the option whether he wants to now postpone the time for a woman and not give her her time, although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always maintained equality amongst his wife, but he was given this privilege, which shows the great distinction and honor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of some social etiquettes which have to be observed. When you go to somebody's house, don't enter without permission. When you are called for meals, then go with invitation. Don't, as we say, gate crash. Don't come without invitation. And don't just come there and pitch up there. And after meals, Allah Ta'ala gives the guidelines. Then disperse. Don't hang around and carry on talking and cause inconvenience to the host. However, the ulama explain that if through circumstances, a person can understand that the host wishes that after meals people must still sit around, then there will be no problem in sitting around, because that will is not any inconvenience for the host. Actually, he wants it to be like that, then there will be no problem. Concerning women, that when they ask for anything from strange men, they have to ask mi wara'i hijab, from behind the parda. In other words, parda has to be observed by the women at all instances. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the durood and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everybody is well aware of the great benefits and merits of sending durood and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala says, we and the farishtas, we also do this. We send our special mercies down upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O believers, you also send durood and salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is in fact recognition and expression of the great status and honor which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been accorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we are told clearly, don't ever do anything which will cause pain and difficulty to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such people are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dunya and the hereafter. And after that, don't even cause any type of pain and difficulty to the general Muslim public for that which they have not did, because then you will be taking the burden of slander and an immense and a manifest sin upon yourself. Thereafter, Allah Ta'ala makes mention about further rules of hijab. Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell your wives and your daughters and the mu'minin women that they must lower upon themselves their jalabib. Jalabib is the plural of jilbab. Perhaps in a sleepy state we think so we're talking of jalebi or anything. No. This is a cloak which a woman has to wear over her normal clothes whenever she emerges from her house, and covers herself, the cloak covers her from head to toe, and it is so wide that it completely conceals even the shape of her body. This is the actual type of hijab which we have been ordered in the Quran and Majeed, that the women, whenever they go out, they must wear this jilbab over themselves. Because Allah Ta'ala says that there is more likelihood that you will be recognized if you wear this, that you are a free woman. In those days, the slave women did not wear this, and because of that, many people used to harass them, etc. So if a free woman doesn't wear the jilbab, she will also be harassed, and she will also be then put to types of difficulty by people. So wear the hijab so that you can be recognized that you are a free woman in modesty and the honor and chastity of a woman is more likely to be preserved if she wears the jilbab. Further on, in the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. That fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Develop this quality of taqwa. In one way mentioned here, that speak in the right way. Speak what is truth. speak what is haq, speak in the right way. Everything which can be connected to right forms of speech are included here. Allah Ta'ala will rectify for you your amal if you do this and forgive you your sins. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the great amanat which Allah Ta'ala had presented to the skies and the earth. By amanat here is meant the responsibility of the fulfillment of the laws of Shariat. Allah, the skies and the earth, the great creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mountains, all refused because they did not have the capacity to do it. But insan took upon himself the responsibility of fulfilling the responsibility of the law, fulfilling the laws of Shariat. But Allah Ta'ala said, generally, insan, despite having taken this responsibility, is zalum and jahula. He is unjust. He is not fulfilling in a general way this responsibility, and he is ignorant of the consequences of taking over himself the great responsibility. Insan took the responsibility because Allah Ta'ala made him Khalifa on this earth, vicegerent on this earth. The next surah, Suratul Saba, and then Suratul Fatir after that, both are Makki surahs in which the fundamentals of deen have been explained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly in Surah Saba in the beginning, that the mushrikeen could just not understand how can there be life after death. They regarded it to be irrational. Allah Ta'ala makes mention of His great qudrats to show that Allah Ta'ala has the power to do anything. Then Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the nation of Saba. The nation of Saba were that nation which resided in Yemen. And Allah Ta'ala blessed them with great bounties. That Allah Ta'ala gave them splendid orchards and plantations on which used to stretch for miles on end. And concerning irrigation, Allah Ta'ala had made arrangements for a dam for them also, that without any difficulty they could irrigate their orchards and plantations. But they fell into ingratitude. Allah Ta'ala then destroyed them, made that wall of that dam shatter, and flooded all their plantations and their orchards and destroyed it completely. Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ جَزَيْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَفَرُوا. Because of their ingratitude, this was the punishment which Allah Ta'ala inflicted upon them, which shows how important it is that when a person is blessed with bounties, he should acknowledge those bounties to be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without him being worthy of it, and not become arrogant and haughty and proud because of these, with the result, because these things they only result in a person becoming rebellious in nature. Allah Ta'ala protect us from all those things. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next surah then mentions that again the fundamentals of deen are explained. Allah Ta'ala explains the ploys of shaitan, that it is shaitan who beautifies for you your evil actions and makes it look good. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says, be on your guard concerning this person. He can never be like that person who understands these tricks and deceptions of shaitan and doesn't fall victim to these traps and ploys of shaitan. Allah Ta'ala then mentions again many of His great creations through which, if we have to ponder, we can understand the existence, the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, His great qudrat and His great wisdom. Allah Ta'ala reminds us, no matter how wealthy and how much of good conditions you might be in this world, but remember, أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. You are a faqir, you are a beggar in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't live for a moment in this world without the oxygen which Allah ta'ala has supplied to you free of charge. Where is your wealth? Why are you becoming so arrogant and proud that no, I don't need anybody. I am self-independent. I've got everything by me. No, you can't survive one moment without even oxygen. Allah ta'ala says only Allah ta'ala is independent. You are all faqir and you are all beggars in front of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala reminds us that if you remain bent on your rebellious and disobedient condition, Allah Ta'ala can destroy you, remove you from the surface of the earth, and replace you with another nation. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. And this is nothing difficult upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah Ta'ala then again mentions many of His great qudrat in His creation. And towards the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala reminds us, وَلَوْ يُعَاخِذُ اللَّهُ النَّاسَ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. That if Allah Ta'ala has to seize mankind for the evils which they perpetrate, مَا تَرَكَ عَلَىٰ ذَهْرِهَا مِنْ دَابَّ. Not a single living creature will remain alive on the surface of the earth. But Allah Ta'ala, through His mercy, Allah Ta'ala defers the sending down of punishment, إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, till an appointed time. Therefore, when the appointed time comes, And if Allah Ta'ala's will is that they have to be destroyed with punishment in this dunya, then nobody can escape the punishment of Allah Ta'ala, because Allah Ta'ala kana bi ibadihi basira. Allah is watchful. Allah Ta'ala knows every banda of his, and nobody will then be able to escape the punishment of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The last two rukus, the last two pages is concerning Surah Yasin, and it continues into the 23rd para. Tomorrow inshallah we will discuss that.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رجلا كان يرفع صوته بالذكر، فقال رجل: لو أن هذا خفض من صوته. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: فإنه أواه. رواه البيهقي. There was a Sahabi رضي الله عنه who would raise his voice in the time of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم whilst making dhikr and reciting the Quran. On seeing him, another Sahabi said, if only he would lower his voice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let him be, for verily he is awwah, filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of the Sahabi was Hazrat Abdullah Dhul Bijadain, radiallahu anhu. He became an orphan in his childhood and thus lived with his uncle. On hearing of his accepting Islam, his uncle expelled him from the house stark naked. He migrated to Medina Munawwara, where he would be found in front of the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used to practice dhikr very loudly. Hazrat Ibrahim Taymi, rahimahullah ta'ala, narrates that he would raise his voice with tasbih, takbir, and the recital of the noble Quran. On seeing him, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu once remarked, is this man a hypocrite that he does dhikr so loudly? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, rather he is amongst the awwabin, those who always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After he passed away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the following dua for him: O Allah, I am pleased with him, you also be pleased with him. Upon seeing this, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu desired that if only it could have been his corpse in that place. This has been narrated in Ustul Ghaba. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. فاذكروني أذكركم، أنا جليس من ذكرني. دل مراه جائك ميداني هو توهی توهو توهی توهو توهی تو اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب و گل درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھو جدھر لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ لا الہ الا 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 اللہ لا الہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. الہی دل میں میرے غیر کا اثر نہ رہے، سوائے تیرے کسی پر میری نظر نہ رہے. تو کر بے خبر ساری خبروں سے مجھ کو، الہی رہوں ایک خبردار تیرا. لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha.
الهي عطاه زرع درد دل کے مرتا ہی بے درد بیمار تیرا کوئی تجھ سے کچھ کوئی کچھ چاہتا ہے میں تجھ سے ہوں یا رب طلبگار تیرا نہیں دونوں عالم سے کچھ مجھ کو مطلب تو مطلوب میں ہوں طالب تیرا اٹھا غم رکھ امید امداد حق سے تجھے غم ہے کیا لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم کوئی مجھ سے پوچھے میں کیا مانگتا ہوں میں اپنے خدا سے خدا مانگتا ہوں وہ ہو جائے میرا میں ہو جاؤں اس کا یہی رات دن میں دعا مانگتا ہوں عطا کر دے وہ مجھ کو اپنی محبت میں اس کے سوا کچھ اور نہیں مانگتا ہوں ہے ناراضگی جس کی دوزخ سے بڑھ کر اسی ذات کی بس رضا مانگتا ہوں اصل مجھ کو دنیا کی خواہش نہیں میں بخشش بروز جزا مانگتا ہوں
لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
تیرے سوا معبود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا مقصود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا موجود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا مشہود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں اب تو رہے بس تادم آخر ورد زبان اے میرے الہ
لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
اللہ اللہ کیسا پیارا نام ہے عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے
اللہ جل جلالہ تعالی شانہ اللہ 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 اللہ
اپنے ملنے کا پتا کوئی نشان تو بتا دے مجھ کو اے رب جہاں
اللہ 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 اللہ
مٹا دے اپنی ہستی کو چھوڑ دے ساری مستی کو
بستی بستی کہتا جا اللہ 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 اللہ
وإذا سألك عبادی عنی فإنی قریب
اللہ 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 اللہ
كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام
الله 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 الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك اللهم اجعل همومنا هما واحدا هم آخرتنا واكفنا هموم دنيانا اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان وجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى ومن العمل وما ترضى والصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم زيننا بالإخلاص والاستقامة اللهم زيننا بالإخلاص والاستقامة اللهم زيننا بالإخلاص والاستقامة اللهم زيننا بكل صفة كانت للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وجاه سيدنا محمد